Turn to Romans chapter 8. So, it's obviously Happy Father's Day to everybody here, and it's everybody that's going to be listening to this out on the broadcast, on the internet. Fathers, thank you for all you do. Thank you for all you do in your families. Now, I didn't do a Mother's Day presentation, okay, because I wanted to do it kind of, I thought, do it all in one lump sum, okay? Fathers and mothers. One reason is with mothers, too, we don't go through the process where we're asking who the oldest mother is, Patsy. So we can have mothers, I'm sorry, we can have mothers and we can have fathers together, because the one thing I've learned, and having little G now as a grandchild, and you knew it when we had Morgan, and you know it from your children, moms and dads want the same thing. They want to have a loving house. They want to love their kids. They want what's best for their kids. And so God's the same way with us. So what I want to look at today is the example that God sets for us in parenting. How does He parent us? Because we have this relationship, this father to son, daughter, daughter, son, father relationship. What kind of example as parents does He set for us with the way He interacts with us? So Romans 8, the first seven chapters, Paul lays out to the church in Rome really a bleak picture. He talks about how man's fallen, the state of mankind, how mankind's fallen from God. We're in a situation where we're helpless. What can we do about our spiritual situation? And then in chapter 8, he flips the script and he tells about now the great situation we're in because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. So go to verse 14 and we're going to go through verse 17. Romans 8, verses 14 through 17. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons and daughters of God. So we're not only looking at God like, yes, I believe in God, Jesus is my Savior. We're sons and daughters if we're believers of God. Now, we're starting to get into something here. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoptions of sons and daughters, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. People that go here know what Abba Father means. Abba Father means daddy. Not father, daddy. It's that type of relationship. Calling your biological father, father, is one thing. Calling him daddy is a whole different ball of wax. The Spirit Himself, with our spirit, testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So we're children of God. And if children, heirs also. Heirs to what He has for us. Heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ. The same promises Christ has through God eternally we have. If indeed we suffer with Him so that we may be glorified with Him. Abba means daddy, as we said. It's an intimate relationship. This is more than some stiff, terse, familial bond. The royal family. Father, mother, brother, sister. Not that. This is daddy. An intimate relationship. All families are not created equally when it comes to how loving they are of each other. I know that for a fact. And I know that families, you'll see certain families, man, they just get along so well together and they can't wait to see each other. And then in other families, there's dysfunction. And other families, there may not be dysfunction. It's just, there's just not a whole lot of communication and a lot of good times going on, right? So it's different, okay? I'm going to use an example here. We've got people here in church. You've gone here. Your kids have gone here. Your grandkids have gone here. So believe it or not, I kind of sit back and I watch things and I observe. And I notice, and forgive me for pointing you out, mention you too. I don't think it'll be a problem. But Lauren Bryant and Jeremy, I look at the relationship that they have, and I sit and watch, and like especially after church. They probably talk together at home during the week, but they immediately, as soon as church is over, they're talking with each other. I can see how they look at each other. She loves him. He loves her. We have a lot of that. That is a tight-knit family. Father, daughter. That's what we should have with God. That's what we should have with Jesus. And a lot of us have that. That's just something I noticed, and I'm sorry, but I wanted to point those two out. So there's that relationship. Leo, I remember I talked about what Leo would say all the time about having a personal relationship. Being a believer was about having a personal relationship with Jesus. And Paul puts it in here, this personal relationship is like daddy-son, daddy-daughter. It's the same way you would feel about your parents and parents would feel about their kids. Okay? Parents have relationships with your children. There's a couple things I want to take away from what God, how God parents us. Number one, have a relationship with your children. Have a relationship. Don't let it get away. Don't be too busy. Don't have too many other things going on in your life. You may love them when you tell them. Do they know? Do you spend time with them? Do you have that relationship? Do you take time? God takes time with us. So relationship is the number one thing. Brother Leo says we need to have a personal relationship with God. He has a personal relationship with us. You need to have a personal relationship with your children. And it's not too late. If it's not where it needs to be, okay, you've got time to do that. Start that today. Okay, look at verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. Now, this is not the fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. There's some parameters here. It says, for all who are being led by the Spirit. Okay? We must possess and be indwelled with the Spirit of God. Be believers. Be in the family of God. Be in the body of Christ for this to happen. Now, we're all born in God's image, and we all have dignity, personal dignity as human beings because God's our creator. But there's a difference in that. That doesn't automatically make you spiritually sons and daughters. Okay? We become sons and daughters only by being indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Now go back in Romans 8, go to verse 9. Go to verse 9 through 11. Paul's saying the same thing. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So Paul has two separate entities here. You're either in the Spirit or you're in the flesh. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. I remember there was an old Andy Griffith episode where Otis was the kin to the town hero at Mayberry, and they thought he was going to show up drunk, and the mayor didn't want him to have the award. You remember that? And Otis showed up and he gave the award back, and he said, I can't take credit for just being born because I have an ancestor. The same way, we can't take credit, spiritual credit, and be in this family just by being born physically. We must be born spiritually by living in the death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 10, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. Christ's righteousness. I say this over and over. Not ours. I grew up hearing in church, my righteousness is the filthy rags, and I knew that. I knew I could never live good enough. I never could live good enough. But it was always based on my righteousness. It's not my righteousness. I'm in right standing with God because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Not one thing that I did. I turned on the TV this morning. I was going to turn on the golf tournament, U.S. Open. Watch it right quick, just a few minutes. And it was on Channel 4, and Charles Stanley was on. And Charles Stanley was saying some things, this, and I'm like, man, he must listen to the Bible Center broadcast, because he was saying exactly what we say, okay? It's Christ's righteousness. Verse 11, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give your mortal bodies through his spirit who give them life that dwells in you. He's going to give you spiritual life here, but we also have life in eternity in heaven because of what he did. Now, how do we receive that spirit? Turn to Romans 10. Move up two chapters to Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Now, I promise you the Father stuff's getting in here, okay? But we're talking about how are we in this family? How are we sons and daughters spiritually? Well, you're going to see, and it also sets a wonderful example of what kind of fathers and mothers we need to be, okay, in our lives. Verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. You say, hold on, where's this thing about going through like 3 or 4 months of classes and about church membership and about baptism and about circumcision and about 10% tithes and about how I act if I never sin? It's not in there, is it? Confess the Lord with your mouth and believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, and you will be saved. Now, I want you to look at something. He said, with the heart a person believes, or a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Number two, number one, we have relationship. Number two, we have communication. We have communication. We communicate with Jesus. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to orally confess him. That is the father-daughter, father-son relationship. There's communication. We need to have communication with our family members and with our children. Husbands and wives need to communicate. Husbands and kids, moms and kids, they need to communicate. Whether you're a father or your mother. Communication is key. Okay? I know this. I had more of a line of communication with my mom than I did my dad. And I think dad knew that. I think as he got older, it bothered him. We spoke about it. He was a pastor. He was always so busy. Just so busy all the time. And he was also, too, from that generation. He was that greatest generation. He was born in 1926. He was the World War II generation. Man, they were tough. So they really didn't let their guard down. It was actions. There really wasn't a lot of talk. Mom and I had more of that communication aspect. And like I said, I think that bothered him later on. He and I spoke about that. I didn't bring it up to him. He brought it up to me. And I knew it. I never said anything. Don't let that be too late. Have communication with your kids. Because let me tell you something. The world has gone insane, totally off its rocker. If you don't have communication with your kids, they're going to get that communication from somewhere else. It needs to be from you. You need to let them know you love them, but you need to let them know the right way to go. But you need to do it in a loving relationship where they're comfortable with that. Because there are just so many bad examples and bad peer pressure out there right now. So we have a relationship, we have a communication. Paul constantly had communication. I want to go through a few books here that he had. This won't take 5 minutes. I want to look at the first chapter in each one. Let me say this first. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, and you don't have to turn, just write that down. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Paul says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So what's the will of God? Rejoice always. Always rejoice. Pray without ceasing. And always give thanks no matter the circumstances. That's what God wants. What is that based on? This right here. Communication. Communication. God wants communication. Okay? That's what we need to have in our families. Turn to Romans chapter 1. I want you to look how Paul put this into practice. See, Giles is communicating right now. He really communicates when he doesn't get that bottle on time. I ought to be shot. When they stay with us, I go downstairs and sleep. Poor old Missy and Rose has got Giles. I'll get up the next morning and I'll say, how'd it go last night? Boy, they give me that death stare. You know, yeah, you go downstairs and sleep, Jonathan. Yeah, we're up here. That's pitiful, isn't it? All right, Romans chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. I want you to see in the first chapter of some of Paul's epistles how you're putting this into practice, communicating. For God, verses 9 through 10, for God whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son is my witness, here we go, as to how unceasingly I make mention of you. The church of Rome. He said, I am constantly making mention of you, always in my prayers, requesting it perhaps now at last by the will of God, I will succeed in coming to you. He was always praying for the church. I think he was doing it aloud. You'll see it here through these verses. Always praying for them and praying that he could come and see them. Move forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He's praying for all these churches. He's always making mention of them. You'll see these words unceasingly, constantly. Always. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. Communication. Always thanking. Communication. So he's not only praying for the church at Rome, he's praying for the church at Corinth. Constantly. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. Move ahead to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And all these are going to be in chapter 1 because they're the introduction. Now, are we constantly in communication? He's in constant communication with his Father. Are we in constant communication with our Father? Are we in constant communication with him for each other? Are we praying for each other? Are we in constant communication praying for our family? Are we in constant communications with our family? I love the phone calls, Missy and Teresa. Missy and Teresa knows where I'm going. They got it down, Charlie. She'll answer the phone, and Missy goes, TT. And Teresa goes, me. TT, me. That's it. They talk so much. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's the line of communication. The line of communication. Every phone call starts out like that. I love it. 1 Thessalonians 1:2-3. We always give thanks to God for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly keeping in mind your work of faith and labor of love and perseverance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. We always give thanks to God for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. Am I always thankful for my family? Do I let them know I'm thankful? Do I always let God know? Am I always mentioning my family to God when I pray? Am I always mentioning people here when I pray? Am I always praying about circumstances? Am I keeping a line of communication open with God? Am I keeping a line of communication open with my family? Turn to Colossians chapter 1. All these chapter 1, like I said. In the introduction. Little G's doing good over there. He's making it. So Colossians 1 through 3. Or 1, excuse me, chapter 1, verse 3. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord, praying when? Always for you. Flip ahead to Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I want you to just see how consistently he does this. This is the way he's always starting out the introduction. Always. Unceasingly, constantly. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Constantly, always mentioning them, praying with joy, always. And one more. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. This is the last one. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 15 through 16. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. So number one, we have a relationship with God. We have a relationship with our family. Two, we communicate with God. We communicate with our family. Number three, we're always praying to God. We're always praying for our family. Number three, always praying for our family, just like Paul does. I know this, and a lot of you know, you've been through this journey with me. I was scared to death about Morgan getting pregnant. You know that. Worried about health issues with her. Worried about health issues with Giles. I was on pins and needles for 9 months. You prayed with me as a church for her. And things couldn't have worked out any better. We know that after we had a health scare about a month ago, you prayed with me for him. We prayed for the health of them. So it shouldn't stop when things are good. I shouldn't be like, well, he's doing okay now. We're going to quit praying for him. I'm going to quit praying for Morgan. I'm going to quit praying for Garrett. I'm going to quit praying for my family, for Missy, for Rose, for the rest of these. No. Constantly we're praying for our families to God. So relationship, communication, praying. I even pray for you, Franklin, sometimes. Let this cup pass from me, right? Okay. Now, look at verse 15 through 17. Our spirit identifies with God's spirit. Have you ever noticed? I think you're... Most of you feel the same. You can be, I don't care how close your friends are. You can have the closest friends in the world and be around them all the time, but family feels different. It just does. When you're around people, and it doesn't have to be the daughter, your wife or something. It can be cousins or whatever. But I've noticed tight-knit families, it's just different when they're around each other. No matter how close they are, friendships are. It has a different feeling. So we have this familial bond with God because our spirit will identify with His spirit. It's going to feel different than anything else does. Look at verse 15 through 17. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by which we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. We know. It just feels different. We've got this connection. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs of Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. Proverbs 18:24 said, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And if he would lay it down for his friends, he would certainly lay it down for his family members. There is a feeling that's different. So my spirit identifies with God. His spirit identifies with me because I'm a believer. Because I'm in His family. Because I'm in that body, the body of Christ. Now that brings up another thing. Adoption. I want you to think about this. Adoption speaks a little different than me. I remember the first time I ever got up here and did this. I've been going here about 2 years. Brother Leo comes up to me one Sunday morning. I'm sitting right over there. Jim, where you're at. So that means you're on the hot seat next. You're next man up. So anyway, Leo comes to me and he says, I'm going to be out 3 weeks. Will you get up and speak? We need speak. Will you get up there and do what I do, take my place? Will you give the message? And I told him I would never tell him no. I mean, no, I don't want to tell people no if it's something based with the Lord's word. So I went, yeah, I'll do it. Well, man, what kind of idiot are you? Why'd you say yes? Why'd you do that? No clue what I was going to speak on. No clue what I was going to do. And I used these scriptures. And I spoke about adoption. And some of you might remember that. Because I'm adopted. So, in adoption, that parent, it's not where they're required by law to take care of that kid because that's their seed. That's their biological family member. You're taking a person who has no ties, who doesn't know that person, who takes them in as a family and did not have to do it. Didn't have to do it. So, my mom died in 2013. My dad died in 2019. Mom died in 2014, I'm sorry. So when dad died in 2019, I remember they had the funeral that night and then the graveside was the next morning. So they left his casket open. So the funeral's over. And I remember I'm there and it's just me and him. Church is empty, and I know he's not there. But this grateful feeling came over me. Because he and Mom did something that they did not have to do. And I know the horror stories of kids who are in foster care, of kids who are in orphanages now, of everything goes on with that. It's horrible. And I just thought, where would I be? I don't even want to think about where I would be if it hadn't been for them. I don't even want to think about it. But God had a plan. God knew I'd be standing here today. God had a plan to get me here. And I just thought how grateful I was. How grateful I was. How thankful I was to my mom and dad for doing that. Christ did not have to pay the price that he paid. But he said he did it willingly. He took that torture. He took that abuse. He took that cross for me. He didn't have to do it, but he did. And I'm thankful that he did. And because of that, we have the spirit of adoption. He's taken us in. Not only did he have to do it, he did something that he didn't have to do. That person takes responsibility. And in verse 16 says, because of that, we are children of God. One thing I noticed, and here's another thing. We love our kids. We love our family. We love God. God loves us. He sets the example because he gave his only son. He would do anything for us. Another thing we would do anything for our kids and for our family. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. I'm coming to a close. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 9 through 11. We do anything for it. I see it every day. I may get to the point 10 where I'll do anything for Giles. I sleep upstairs at night with him. We're working on it. Matthew 7, 9 through 11. These are the words of Jesus himself. What person is there among you when his son asked him for a loaf of bread, would give him a stone? If Giles is hungry, Morgan's not going to say, here's a rock. You don't do that. Okay? That's not going to happen. Or if he asked for food, a fish, would he give him a snake? No, absolutely not. So, despite you being evil... And he tells them, none of us are. We're born without God. We all have a sin nature. None of us in our nature are good to the point to where that just goes through us in our nature that we could do that all the time. We've all got things that we're ashamed of and we wish we didn't do. And things that we wish we hadn't done. We are not, when it comes down to God's parameters and what his standard is, none of us are good. It's through the cross that we're seen as righteous. It's about Jesus' work on the cross. So he says, "But so you're not a perfectly good person. So how would you, even with that, you give good gifts to your children? How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to you for those who ask?" God's going to give good things to us. God loves us. God wants the best for us. That's another thing. So as parents, we want the best for our kids, no matter what the price is, no matter how tough it is. We want the best. You hear all the time about grateful children once they grow up to realize the sacrifice that their parents made for them. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Back to Romans chapter 8. And I'll be done here in a second. So Romans chapter 8. So we talked about Romans 8. It starts out and it talks about the relationship. Now we have a relationship of Christ through the cross. And he talks about justification. He talks about being saved. He talks about believing. He talks about all that encompasses. And then he goes down and even has the parent-son, parent-daughter relationship. Now, that love's unconditional. That's another thing. Our love's unconditional. We don't stop loving our kids. I remember when I was in high school, I worked for this guy, and he had been married and divorced more than Elizabeth Taylor. I think he got married every week. And he told me, I never will forget, I didn't know what he was talking about. He said, you can divorce your wife, but you can't divorce your kids. And that's true. Your love's unconditional with your kids. So Paul talks about it here, Romans 8, 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for you and for me, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all. He gave his only son to go to the cross for every one of us. Every one. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? Christ Jesus wants us to have, he wants us to have abundant lives. We want our kids to have abundant lives. We would give our life for our family, for our kids. We want them to have the best. Who will bring charges against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. What's that mean? When I become into the body of Christ, God sees me just as I've never sinned. Whatever I did, it is washed in his blood. It's forgotten. It's no more. He sees me. That's justified. That's justification. Who is the one that condemns? See, who is there to condemn me now that I believe? Nobody. No matter what I've done in the past. Christ Jesus is he who died, but rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and he intercedes for us. See, when we pray, he intercedes for us. He's like our advocate, what the Bible says. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or trouble, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Nothing will separate us from Christ's love. Now go down to verse 37. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, no matter how big they are, no matter how deep we think we're in a hole, nor any other created thing, nothing out there, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate me from God's love. Just like nothing should be able to separate me. And I understand. Family problems happen. I get it. But my love for my child, for my grandchildren, for my family, no matter how sketchy it gets, nothing should be able to separate my love for them, because I hate to tell you this, I let the Lord down every day. And I say this all the time, if you're looking for a church, for somebody to get up in front of you, that's got it figured out, and lives a perfect life, you need to go somewhere else. I ain't your guy. I mean, it seems like every prayer I pray with the Lord starts with, I'm sorry. And I think most of us know where I'm coming from. None of us are perfect. I did things to let my mom and dad down. I did things, unfortunately, to hurt my mom and dad. Okay? I let them down. I didn't always do. I didn't live up to their expectations. I didn't live up to God's expectations, but he never quit loving me. When your kid lets you down, when your grandkid lets you down, when a family member lets you down, don't give up. God don't give up on us. Okay? If God, don't let it be said that God would give up on me whenever I give up on somebody else, because man, I'll be in trouble. Don't do that. Last Sunday, as you know, I don't know what I'm going to talk about when I get up here the week before, unless I have a couple planned out that just tied over. So I'd gone out to Parsons Decaturville last Sunday, and I was driving back, and I was already thinking, okay, what next Sunday? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I knew it was Father's Day, but I had some other things on my mind. So I've got the radio on, driving back. It's probably about 6, 7 o'clock. I got the radio on, and you don't want to be in a car with me if you like music, because I'm changing songs every day. I like it. I don't like that song. I'll change it 600 times between here and Collinwood. I'll change it. I'm one of them, kid. So I'm driving and I'm changing stations, and I'm not a country music, necessarily a country music listener, but I'm going by and this song comes on. Let's say it's on channel 57. And I get like the channel 60, and something told me, turn it back. Turn it back. The verse 55, I knew what the song was. Turn it back. So So I turned it back to General 57. It was George Strait. And I knew the song. And I knew then what the Lord wanted me to talk about today. Because it went perfectly in line. Last night I dreamed I died and I stood outside the pearly gates. When suddenly I realized there must be some mistake. If they know half the things I've done, they'll never let me in. And then somewhere from the other side, I heard these words again. And he said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. Daddy, Abba Father. He said, daddies, Abba Father, don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. God loves me without end. Amen. No matter how far I get off the path, no matter how much I let him down, Paul said, I want to do this and I can't do it. The things I don't want to do, I do. I start every prayer out by saying, God, I'm sorry. He's always there. It's a love without amen, a love without end, amen. And he doesn't love me every now and then. We don't love our children and our family every, and our friends, our church family every now and then. We love them constantly. We love them consistently. We always Martha Jo, will you play, please?
She's
Oh, okay. I'm Jonathan. Will you play?
Yeah.